that typically describes the holiday season for so many people. Let me encourage you, don't let the busyness of the season steal your joy. Christmas is good news of a great joy, which shall be for all the people. For today, as the angel told the shepherds, for today in the city of David, there has been born for you a Savior who is Christ the Lord. Well, good morning and welcome to Real Truth for Today. I'm your host, Pastor Jeff Shreve, the pastor of First Baptist Church in Texarkana, Texas, and the founder of From His Heart Ministries. From His Heart is heard every weeknight at 6 p.m. Central Time right here on this great station, American Family Radio. Well, we are busy at First Baptist Texarkana, as so many churches are busy at Christmas time, and there are parties and gatherings and events and special events that are in the month of December that are focused on the month of December and giving thanks and celebrating the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we do some of those things at First Baptist that really try and reach out. You know, Christmas is such a great time to reach out to people because people, they just have a different mindset at Christmas. Now, you can run into the Ebenezer Scrooges, bah humbug type people, but most people are more open at Christmas time to hear about Jesus and to receive things from people and to be more giving. You know, giving, financial giving always goes up in the month of December, and so it's just a special time. Now, last Friday we had our annual, we've done this for 6 years at the church, we had our annual Unsung Heroes Luncheon. And this is something that the Lord really put in my heart a number of years ago as I was watching a news piece, and it showed how some states pay more in unemployment than a person can get if he or she was working. And I thought to myself, how ridiculous is that? I mean, typical stupid government program. You know, I'm going to pay you more to stay home and not work than if you went out there and worked. And I saw that, and I thought to myself about all the people that do important jobs to make cities and communities run that don't necessarily get paid much, that don't typically get much thanks. I'm talking about jobs like being a public school bus driver, being a public school crossing guard, working in the maintenance department for the public school, or being a custodian in the public school. How about working at a wastewater plant or a raw water plant? You know, those are critical. Those things, if those things shut down, we have serious problems functioning as a community. And I thought, you know, those people aren't getting recognized. We always want to recognize, obviously, our teachers, administrators, our firefighters, our EMTs, our law enforcement officers. But what about those other unsung heroes? And so we started the Unsung Heroes Luncheon. We invited everybody in city government, county government, and just say, hey, we recognize what you do is important and it makes a difference, and we want you to know that we are grateful for you and we want to celebrate you. No strings attached. This isn't a we want to get you in the door and then have an hour meeting with you. We're not doing that. We just provide lunch for them and no cost. Great, delicious lunch, and our members help us with that. Our kitchen staff is now working on the hot stuff so we can keep it hot. And then we have a gift for them. And in that gift, we have some candy. We have a CD from one of my messages that will share the gospel with them. So we want to make sure that they hear the gospel. The Gideons partner with us and they give everybody a Bible. And then we also have a card in there that just says, thanks for what you do, and a $10 bill. It's a monetary gift, and we say, hey, we appreciate you at Canada. And it is awesome. We had over 300 people that came through the line on Friday and ate with us in our gym, and they just really appreciate that. It's just such a great spirit. And I had a letter, I think it was last year, from a lady that came, and she was a bus driver on the Arkansas side for the Arkansas Public School District. And she said, you know, this just makes my Christmas that you guys would do this for us. And so it's a lot of work, and there's finances involved, obviously, to do that, but it makes such a difference. And so we did that on Friday, and then on Sunday night, we had a great service Sunday morning, great music, and preached the gospel, called it the Divine Rescue, and I'm going to share a little bit more about that in a minute. But then Sunday night, we did something for young families and those that have little kids or bring in their little grandkids. We did outdoor movie night. We've done that now for about the last 3 or 4 years. And we rent a big screen, and we have outdoor movie night. We showed the movie The Star. And if you haven't seen the animated movie The Star, it is really well done. It's about the nativity that's told from the perspective of the animals, and very cleverly written. And it's just fun. I really enjoyed it. And we had probably about 200 people that came, and we provided them with popcorn and hot chocolate and drinks and candy. Everything was free. And we just said, hey, invite your friends, and let's come out and have fun. It was a little chilly, which makes it a little more memorable. And so as I get older, I get colder. So I was told, Debbie, I went out with I had one of those tight-fitting shirts that you wear, those thermal shirts, and then I had a shirt over it. I thought that should be all right. I had a toboggan on my head. You know, when you have no hair, all your heat goes out of the top of your head. And so I had all that on and said, that should be okay. I was out there for 10 minutes, and I called Debbie because she was coming behind me. I said, can you bring my jacket? And so there we were sitting on our lawn chairs watching the movie with everybody. It was just a lot of fun. You know, Christmas is a time that churches can make an impact and offer activities to people, to families, in-reach activities, outreach activities, to let them know, hey, we are celebrating the Lord Jesus Christ, the good news of a great joy that a Savior has come. And that was my message for Sunday. I entitled the message, The Divine Rescue. It was from Matthew chapter 1. You know, Joseph, when he hears the news, no doubt he probably heard it from Mary after she spent the first 3 months with Aunt Elizabeth. Then she came home and told Joseph, here's the news, I'm pregnant, but it's not what you think. The power of the Most High has come upon me, and I am carrying the Messiah, the son of David, who is going to rule and reign forever and ever. That's what Gabriel told her. Well, that's a pretty hard story to believe if you're Joseph. Now, he knows that he's not the father, because Mary and Joseph didn't have that kind of relationship. They didn't have a sexual relationship until Jesus was born. The Bible is very clear on that in Matthew chapter 1. But after that, don't ever get the idea that Mary was a perpetual virgin. She was not. After that, they had a normal marriage, and they had other children. And James is the half-brother of the Lord, wrote the book of James, the epistle James. Jude is the half-brother of the Lord, wrote the second to the last book of the Bible, the book of Jude. And so Jesus had brothers and sisters, but Mary was a virgin until Jesus was born. So how does a virgin have a baby? Well, that is the incomprehensible nature of Christmas, that a virgin shall be with child. It's a miracle of tremendous proportions. It was a miracle that Elizabeth could have a baby. She was advanced in years. She was barren. She was, that word for barren means sterile. She couldn't have kids, but by the power of God, she did have a child through natural means. Between her and her husband, they came together, and she, in her old age, gave birth to a child. So it was a miracle birth, but it wasn't a miracle birth to the extent that a virgin shall be with child. And so Joseph he had trouble with that. And he knew Mary was a godly woman, and he was betrothed to her. It's more than an engagement. To break a betrothal, you had to have a certificate of divorce. And so they weren't together, and they weren't living as husband and wife, but they were strongly engaged. And so he was looking forward to marrying her. But then she comes up pregnant. He can't believe her story. So what is he going to do? He's thinking about putting her away secretly. You know, if you publicly disgraced her, says in Deuteronomy that you stone a woman who is unfaithful. Remember John chapter 8, that's what they were going to do. They brought that woman caught in adultery in the very act, and they said, Jesus, Moses said to stone her, what do you say? And so he could have publicly disgraced her. He could privately put her away. That's what he was thinking of doing. Or he could marry her. But he wasn't going to marry her because the baby wasn't his. And so he was contemplating what I should do. And that's when he had a dream. And the angel, probably Gabriel again, came to him and said to him, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for that which has been conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. Just like she said, she's telling you the truth. And she will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for it is he who will save his people from their sins. And then it says, now all this took place that what was spoken by the Lord through the prophet might be fulfilled, saying, and he quotes from Isaiah chapter 7, behold, the virgin shall be with child and shall bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which translated means God with us. Now, Jesus was never called Emmanuel. He was called Jesus, Yeshua. The name Jesus is from the Old Testament, Joshua. It means Yahweh saves. So Jesus wasn't called Emmanuel. He was Emmanuel. He was God with us. And he was born of a virgin so he could be the Son of God and the Son of Man. So he could be both. And he came into this world on a divine rescue mission to save his people from their sins. That is so important to remember. What is Christmas about? God sending his Son into the world to save us from our sins. Now, that statement, to save us from our sins, indicts you and me as sinners. And as I mentioned yesterday in my message, them's fighting words for certain people. They don't like the fact that you would call them a sinner. And it didn't used to be like that. People just readily understood. I mean, it's like you didn't take much to know that you were a sinner. But today, people get so angry if you call them a sinner. Now, the Apostle John talks about this, and he says this, if we say, 1 John chapter 1, verse 8, if we say that we have no sin, we are deceiving ourselves, and the truth is not in us. And then he goes on to say, if we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. We have millions of people who are ready to throw down and fight if you tell them what they're doing is sinful. If you tell them, hey, you're living a homosexual lifestyle, homosexuality is sin. How dare you call me a sinner? This is the way I was made. This is right for me. This is good for me. God is pleased with me. As I saw in one Twitter exchange between Megan Mashin and this other guy that I didn't know who he was, I looked on his Twitter profile and it says this, gay Christian. And I thought to myself, gay Christian. You're defining your Christianity with an adjective of your sin. Can you imagine putting on your profile, adulterous Christian, fornicating Christian, lying Christian, thieving Christian, blaspheming Christian? Those things don't go together. What fellowship has light with darkness? What fellowship has Christ with Belial? None. Come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. Hey, you're listening to Real Truth for Today, and I'm your host, Pastor Jeff Shreve, and we're talking about the divine rescue. The Lord came to save us from our sins, and I'm going to have more to say after that. In the next segment, we will open the phone lines also to receive your calls, 888-589-8840. And we want to really focus in on the fact that Jesus came to save us from our sins. He is Emmanuel, God with us. And what does that mean to be saved from your sins? We're going to take a break. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
Preborn celebrates that Roe v.ersus Wade has been overturned. Roe has been responsible for the slaughter of over 63 million babies. Now the decision to abort a child will be left in the hands of the states, and sadly, abortions will continue in the most liberal states. Over the past 16 years, Preborn has positioned their clinics in the top abortion cities where 50% of abortions occur. Preborn's work of saving babies' lives continues at an even greater level as they save babies' lives and defend their centers from the radical hate groups who want to shut them down. Preborn's response is dependent on you, the pro-life community. Be a part of rescuing lives and changing hearts for Christ. $28 sponsors one ultrasound, and $140 will help to rescue five babies' lives. Dial #250 and say the keyword baby, or go to preborn.com. All gifts are tax deductible.
I love the cooperation between the gifts that these men have. Ezra was a scribe. He knew the law. He knew what to say. Nehemiah was a leader, and God did a great work.
Nehemiah had a vision. He prayed about it. He exerted leadership and motivated people. And then when the going got tough, he kept on going.
Bert Harper and Alex McFarland, advancing through the scriptures, weekday afternoons at 3 Central on American Family Radio's Exploring the Word.
As Christians, we cannot redefine marriages because ours do not turn out according to God's standard. We have to aim for the mark. And the mark, it's not happily ever after. This is a picture of Christ in the church. So God has invited us as two individuals becoming one to be a living billboard of what he did for us.
Airing the Addisons, weekday afternoons at 2 Central on American Family Radio.
Let's see, if something costs less, but people are happier with it, that sounds like something to look into, and that's MediShare. Maybe you've heard switching to MediShare to pay for healthcare can save the typical family $500 a month, and that's huge, but it's also true that people are way more satisfied after making the switch, too. The customer satisfaction rate for MediShare is double that of the typical health insurance plan. Double. MediShare works. It's been around for more than a quarter century, and members have shared more than $3 billion of each other's bills. People love having telehealth and a huge nationwide PPO network. So yeah, you can save a ton and like it better. Imagine being happy with how you're taking care of your health care. So if you're self-employed or part of the gig economy, or you just want a plan you're happy with, you can call right now and get a price within 2 minutes. A very, very smart use of 2 minutes. Here's the number you need. 833-44-BIBLE. That's 833-44-BIBLE. 833-44-BIBLE.
Welcome back to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here, your host. Hey, I want to let you know about my new book, The Promise of Eternity. It speaks of and deals with the reality of eternal heaven and eternal hell. The Apostle Paul said there shall certainly be a resurrection of both the righteous and the wicked. The righteous have a resurrection to eternal heaven. The wicked have a resurrection to eternal hell. The righteous have a judgment as they stand before the Lord and give an account of their lives. It's called the judgment seat of Christ, 2 Corinthians 5:10. For we must all appear, speaking of Christians, before the judgment seat of Christ to give an account of our lives to the Lord who saved us. And Jesus is going to ask us, what did you do with what I gave you? Your time, your talent, your treasure, your opportunities, what did you do with that? And we're going to have to give an account. And then for the unbeliever, they have to give an account of their lives. Revelation chapter 20, verses 11 through 15, the great throne judgment. Everyone who appears at the judgment seat of Christ is going to heaven. We have put our faith and trust in Jesus, and there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. And everyone who appears at the great white throne judgment is going to hell because they rejected the Lord Jesus Christ. So the book is called The Promise of Eternity. I'd love to get a copy into your hands. We're going to give away five copies of this book, signed copies of the book. So all you have to do to be involved in this drawing is to email us book@fromhisheart.org, book at fromhisheart.org and send us your name and address, and we'll be pulling out five of these and sending you a book with our thanks and gratitude. So I'd love for you to be a part of that drawing, and I think this book will be a blessing and a help to you, and hopefully answer a lot of questions. People have questions about the afterlife, and the Bible has answers to our questions. So every chapter is rooted in Scripture. It's not my just musings. It's what does God say about it, and I think it'll be a blessing. All right, so we were talking in the first segment about the divine rescue. When I preached that message yesterday, the Lord really blessed, and many people have commented, hey, that really spoke to me, and that helped me understand, just what Christmas is all about. I started out the message, I don't know if you've seen this movie, it's called 13 Lives. It's a movie based on the true rescue of 13 people who got trapped in a cave in Thailand, northern Thailand, 12 boys and their soccer coach. It was a soccer team. And the boys were from 11 to 17 years old. I think the soccer coach was like 25 years old. So they're in this cave, 2.5 miles inside a cave. A flash flood comes, floods out the cave. They can't get out. And no one can get to them because of the rain and because of the water that's filling the cave. And so 13 divers come, international divers that are very skilled and experienced in cave diving. Cave diving is different than any other diving because very tight spaces and you can't see. And it's so claustrophobic, and the panic factor is off the chain, even for the experienced guys. They really have to struggle with that and work through that. So they finally rescue these boys. It took them 6 hours. It was a six-hour dive just to get to where the boys were. And the boys, it was after 9 days, they found the boys. They were all alive, but obviously hungry and fearful and all the other things that go with it. But then they said to themselves, these divers, they said, well, how in the world can we get these kids out? Because, I mean, they're not going to be able to make it. They would freak out. They can't handle, it was 6 hours getting there, 5 hours coming out because the current was going with them. But they said they couldn't handle this. They're going to freak out. They're going to go crazy. And they're going to rip off their mask and all the things that you would do in a panic. And so they would drown. And these guys said, well, there's no way to get these people out. And a monsoon was coming that was going to really flood the cave to the point that, they would die. So what did they do? They came up with a plan. And it was ingenious. They said, we'll sedate the boys. We'll put them under as if they're going into surgery, and we'll fit them with a mask with oxygen so that they can obviously breathe. But they'll be totally sedated. They'll be strapped into a gurney. They can't move their arms. They can't move their legs. They can't freak out. And we'll watch them to make sure, and then we'll keep hitting them with drugs if they start to awaken. And that's what they did. And they led them out like a piece of luggage, one by one. It took 3 days to get them all out. But they got everyone out, and they were all safe and sound. It's amazing. I encourage you to watch the movie 13 Lives. It was a really exciting rescue story, and it's very true to the facts, as one of the divers was the consultant on the movie. It's a Ron Howard movie. But anyway, I use that as an illustration of an amazing rescue, but the rescue that the Lord gave was and is the greatest rescue ever in the history of the world, because God became a man, and he came on a mission to seek and to save that which was lost. It was a divine rescue. And we were just like those boys. We were stuck in a cave of sin, and there's nothing we could do to get out. No way to get out. And we're just going to die there. And the Bible is very clear about that. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and have fallen short of the glory of God. And the wages of sin is death. And we are helpless, hopeless sinners without the Lord. So God sent his Son to be the Savior, Jesus. Call his name Jesus. Yahweh saves. for it is he who will save his people from their sins. That's what the Lord does. He saves us from our sins. Now, I said in the first segment about that guy that was going back and forth with Megan Basham, who calls himself a gay Christian. Now, homosexuality, the Bible is very clear, is a sin. It's not the unpardonable sin, but it is a sin. And to call yourself a gay Christian would be similar to calling yourself an adulterous Christian, fornicating Christian, lying Christian, thieving Christian, blaspheming Christian. Those things don't go together at all. The Lord doesn't save us in our sins. He saves us from our sins. He delivered us from the domain of darkness, Colossians 1 says, and he transferred us into the kingdom of his beloved Son. He saves us from our sins. Here's what Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Or do you not know that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Now pay attention to this. This is really important. Do not be deceived, he says, neither fornicators. Those are people who are having sex and they're not married. Nor idolaters. Those who are worshiping someone or something other than God. Nor adulterers. Those are people who are married that are having sex outside of their marriage. Nor effeminate. People that dress up like girls when they're men. Nor homosexuals. We know what that is. Nor thieves, nor the covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor swindlers. And he lists all these sins shall inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you. But you were washed, but you were sanctified, but you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and in the Spirit of our God. You used to be like that, Corinthians. Such were some of you, but you're not that anymore. Why? Because the Lord saved you not in sin, from sin. From sin. And so that doesn't describe your life anymore. You are not that person anymore. As Iris Blue, the prostitute from Houston, says in her testimony, when she heard the gospel and responded to the gospel, she said, I knelt down on my knees a tramp, and I arose a lady, because the power of the Lord forgave her, cleansed her, changed her from the inside out. She was delivered from the domain of darkness and transferred into the kingdom of his beloved Son. The Lord changes us, and we're no longer the people that we used to be. As it says in 2 Corinthians 5:17, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. The old things passed away. Behold, new things have come. You know, Mary Magdalene was one who had seven demons cast out of her. Now, you can imagine what her life was like with seven demons living inside. The sins that she committed, the atrocities that were on her ledger. But she was forgiven for all that and totally changed. The prostitute that knelt at Jesus' feet in Luke chapter 7, and she wept her tears of repentance. Jesus said, your sins have been forgiven. Your faith has saved you. Go in peace. Not go back to your old life. Not go in sin. Go in peace. And your life has now been changed. You've been set free from sin. The Apostle Paul's testimony, he was a blasphemer and a persecutor and a violent aggressor, but then he came to Christ in repentance and faith. And he wasn't those things anymore. He became the greatest preacher of the gospel the world has ever known. Hey, the Lord came to save us from our sins. Now, do we still struggle with sin? Yes, you struggle with sin. I struggle with sin. We struggle with sin. The Apostle Paul struggled with sin. Romans 7, the good that I do, I don't do. The bad that I don't want to do, I end up doing. Wretched man that I am, who will set me free from the body of this death? We still struggle with sin. We face, as it says in 1 John, the world, the flesh, and the devil. And so we're going to experience that. But listen, if sin is your calling card, if that's the way you're living, if that's the practice of your life, newsflash, you've never been saved. You've never been saved. Paul said in Galatians, hey, the deeds of the flesh are evident, and he lists all sorts of sins, immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, outbursts of anger, disputes, dissensions, factions, envying, drunkenness, and things like these, of which I forewarn you, just as I have also forewarned you, that those who practice such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. If that's the practice of your life, if the deeds of the flesh just that represents your life, you've never been saved. And so we struggle with the deeds of the flesh, but that cannot be the practice of our life. And when you become a Christian, a true Christian, there is a change that takes place in you, and you desire to follow the Lord and to obey the Lord and to walk in the light with Him. You desire to be with God's people and to sing His praises. There's a change that takes place. The old song says, "What a wonderful change in my life has been wrought since Jesus came into my heart." Well, we are opening the phone lines. The number to call is 888-589-8840, 888-589-8840. I know some of the things that I've said this morning, as I told my church yesterday, that makes some people mad. They don't want to think like that. They don't want to say, you know, hey, I can be a sinner and still live in sin and still be a Christian. I can be a gay Christian. I can be a fornicating Christian. I can do all those things and still be right with God. Well, you can't. 1 John chapter 1. This is the message we have heard from Him and announced to you, that God is light, and in Him there is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with Him and walk in the darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as He Himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of God's Son cleanses us from all sin. You can't walk in the darkness and say you have fellowship with God. And if a walk in the darkness is your MO, your modus operandi, that's how you live, that's your natural default setting, you've never been saved. Now, here is the truth. When God saves a person, He doesn't fix it so you can't sin anymore. He fixes it so you can't sin and enjoy it anymore. You will feel the conviction of the Holy Spirit, and it will be strong. And the Lord is saying to His children, you shall be holy. 1 Peter chapter 1, you shall be holy, for I am holy. Come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord, and do not participate in their evil deeds. Do not touch what is unclean. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, because we're called to be God's people and to be a witness that the Lord has changed our lives. Well, we have Lucy on the line from Texas. Lucy, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Good morning, Pastor.
Good morning.
I just wanted to thank you for bringing this subject up. It's something that I've been struggling with. I have a brother that's, you know, gay, and he keeps telling me he's a Christian, and I don't want to argue with him, you know? Now, God loves him. God loves him. And the other day, the Lord woke me up and said, what God is he worshiping? So it's been a deep struggle in my life and something that's been very heavy on my heart. So thank you for bringing it up.
Yes. Well, Lucy, I think probably all of us on the radio this morning, all of us listening, we have a family member who has said, hey, I'm going in this direction, and they're same-sex attracted, and they're pursuing that, and they still say, hey, that's just the way God made me, and I can be a Christian and still do this. And the reality is, if you're pursuing sin, you're not pursuing God. And if you're worshiping a God that is okay with your sin, that's not the God of the Bible. Because the God of the Bible hates sin. And the only way He could deal with sin was by sending His Son to die on the cross, a brutal death, and to shed His blood to pay the price for sin. The Lord doesn't have fellowship with sin. His eyes are too pure to look upon evil. So Lucy, just keep praying for your relative, and keep asking the Lord to do a work, to open blind eyes to truth, and to bring conviction. That's something that we don't necessarily pray for a lot, but we need to. God, make this person miserable in his or her sin, because it's the misery factor, just like the prodigal son. When the misery factor was great enough, then the prodigal came to his senses and said, what am I doing at the pigsty? Until we see we're at the pigsty, we don't repent. and we don't turn back to God. Hey, you're listening to Real Truth for Today, and I'm your host, Pastor Jeff Shreve. And when we come back, we'll have a call from Paul and others, so don't go away.
When you hear this...
This is American Family News.
You know what follows is the truth. Your news from a Christian perspective.
Hundreds of teachers are going to have to walk into that school building, and they are forced to swallow political ideology that in many cases violates their very faith and conscience.
If you miss it at the top of the hour, American Family News podcasts are available at AFN.net and sign up for our daily news brief at AFN.net.
AFA is no longer dependent on Facebook or YouTube to live stream our original programming. As of now, American Family Radio shows like Today's Issues, The Court, Airing the Addisons, and The Hamilton Corner are streaming live on the AFA streaming app. Independent live streaming is the next step as we come out from among them and separate ourselves unto the Lord. Search AFA Streaming or visit streaming.afa.net to sign up.
Dr. Ligon Duncan from the American Family Studios documentary, The God Who Speaks.
You don't even have to go to passages like John 17:17 and Matthew 5:17-19 and the John passage where Jesus says the scripture cannot be broken. You don't have to go to any of those passages to see Jesus' authority of scripture. You just have to look at how he talks about scripture and how he uses scripture in polemics against the Pharisees. And of course, it comes out in his engagement with Satan in the wilderness in Matthew chapter 4. Satan makes a suggestion, and how does he answer? Jesus answers with, "It is written. It is written. It is written." And he quotes Moses to Satan three times. So you really see Jesus' authority, his view of the authority of the Bible in those polemics.
Visit thegodwhospeaks.org.
Rob West here, host of MoneyWise, heard daily on American Family Radio. I'd like to take a moment to ask you to consider investing in the ministry that you know as American Family Association. For over 40 years, American Family Association has been on the front lines in the battle for the future of our great nation. They continue to stand for the biblical principles America was founded upon. One way you can support AFA's efforts is through your estate planning. Why not explore the benefits of including AFA in your estate planning? You can shore up permanent income for your retirement years while supporting the culture-transforming work of the American Family Association. Contact Riley Wildman and the team at the AFA Foundation today. Call 800-326-4543, extension 345. That's 800-326-4543, extension 345. Or visit afafoundation.net.
Welcome back to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here. The phone lines are open, 888-589-8840. We're talking about the divine rescue. The Lord came to save his people from their sins. Not in their sins, but from their sins. God hates sin. Sin is destroying lives, and the Lord came to deliver us from sin and to transfer us to the kingdom of his beloved son. Hey, we said in the last segment, The Promise of Eternity, my new book, The Reality of Eternal Heaven and Eternal Hell. Love to get you a copy. If you'd like to be involved in the drawing, just email us book, B-O-O-K, at fromhisheart.org. That's book at fromhisheart.org. Send us your name and address, and we'll put you in a drawing, and I'm going to send 5 autographed copies of this book. I think it'll be a blessing to you and help you understand the afterlife. Many people have questions about that. What happens after I die for a Christian, for a non-Christian, and what is in store after we take our last breath here on this earth? So I'd love to get you a copy. Well, we have Paul on the line from Texas. Paul, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Yeah, good morning.
Good morning.
Thank God for our salvation, huh?
Amen.
For one thing, first off, I appreciate you being brutally honest about all those lists of sins, that we are saved from sin and not to sin.
Mm-hmm.
And just as a quick word of testimony that might help somebody out there, about 5 years ago, my wife's younger brother came out as being homosexual. And I had, that's way off of my chart, okay? I had to deal with that and ended up coming to a conclusion that I had to leave it. It's going to be between him and God, and I told him that. But what I found was when I was studying the scripture about all the spots where it talks about homosexuality, mm-hmm. most of them talk about drunkenness.
Mm-hmm.
And that's me, okay? I've had trouble with alcohol for years. I'm doing fine now. But, boy, you talk about a conviction. I'm trying to look up the stuff, the details about homosexual sin, and there's my name right there on the same page. So anyway, I'm so grateful for the grace that we get, but we don't want to waste that, do we?
So, anyway,
hopefully that'll help somebody out there.
Yeah, that's a good point, Paul. Here's the difference that I see. So there's a difference between struggling with sin. Most men I know, we struggle, Christian men, struggle with lust. When you identify your personhood with a sin, I'm an alcoholic Christian. I'm a lustful Christian. I'm a, you know, debauched Christian. That's such a contradiction in terms, and that's what the LGBTQ movement tries to do. Say it's okay to be this way. God made me this way, and they attach a sin to their personhood. Why I'm so against it is because you're cutting people off from salvation when you do that, because God will not accept you in your sin. He wants you to turn from sin and turn to him. And if you bring your sin in tow, whatever your sin is, so if Paul, you were saying, well, the Lord, I'm just a drunk, so you're just going to have to accept me and my alcohol. Well, the Lord won't do that because he's like, hey, I have no fellowship with that sin. And the big difference, Paul, between you and that family member or that friend, you're not trying to justify your drunkenness. You're saying, hey, this is a problem. This is wrong. Pray for me because I don't want this to continue to plague my life. And I think that's the big, big difference is with the LGBTQ community. They're saying, this is not a sin. How dare you call me a sinner? This is good and right and fine, and God loves it and God blesses it. And that is serious business, because if we say we have not sinned, we make God a liar, and his word is not in us. We're calling him a liar, and that is serious, serious sin there, and it cuts us off from his grace and his salvation. So I appreciate you calling in. I appreciate you bringing up that point. God bless you, my brother. We have Janet from Texas on the line. Janet, welcome to Real Truth for today.
Yes. So what is that scripture verse? And I have a short testimony to tell you, but what is the scripture verse listing all those sins that say that no one will go to heaven? These list of sins that
yes.
they will not be in heaven?
Yes.
What
so
is
it's
that scripture verse?
It's Galatians 5, verses 19 through 21, and then also
okay.
First Corinthians 6.
Okay.
Verses 9 through 11.
Okay. But I'm fixing to witness to a man that he's the same age I am. And back in high school, he lives in another town, but I found out he's involved in homosexuality now. And so I want to share with him. But back in the 80s, I went through evangelism training at a church I went to in Amarillo, Texas. And our singles, we had the best singles group back in the 80s, and we all decided to go bowling one night. Well, we went to this bowling alley, and I'd already gone through evangelism training, and I looked over where you get your shoes and your bowling ball, and there was a young man. He had a dress on, everything. And I said, I'm going to go share Christ with him. So I shared Christ with him. I said, young man, I just want to tell you, Jesus Christ loves you. And I shared the gospel of Jesus Christ with him, and I gave him my gospel tract. And I guess I'm just guessing, a month or two later, I got a phone call at my apartment, and this older singles at our church, she knew that we had gone to that bowling alley, and she said, "Janet, do you remember sharing Christ with a homosexual young man in the bowling alley one night?" And I said, "Yes, I do." She said, "I know his mom and dad, and his mama called me and said, 'Ann, my son is a Christian now.'"
Wow.
And she said his mother asked her son, said, "How did you come to know the Lord?" He said, "Well, there was a young lady at a bowling alley one night shared Christ with me. And my friend Ann, she said, 'I knew it was you, Janet.'" And I said, "Yes, it was. But," I said, "I'm just an instrument. It's the word of God that cuts through."
Mm-hmm.
And that, you know, we can all be instruments as Christians. That it's, you know, when you accept Christ, you're a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And so for those homosexuals saying that they're made that way, no, God did not make them that way. God made them male. There's a male or female. And your desires should be for the opposite sex, not the same sex. But the devil is a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour, and he gets in and try to twist and tangle their thoughts and even their actions, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And so, but only Jesus Christ can set him free, and that's a set free young man.
Amen. What a great testimony. And I'm so glad to hear that you were obedient, because many Christians would recoil at that, and they see this person that, oh, I can't talk to him, you know, he would be too combative or whatever. Sometimes it's those people that are the most receptive. And here's the big thing to remember. Okay, you got to get folks lost in order to be saved. And that doesn't mean that people aren't lost, but they have to see themselves as lost. Until you understand that I'm a sinner and I'm lost and I'm on the highway to hell, you don't look up to Jesus and you don't cry out for his forgiveness. But when you see, hey, I'm a helpless, hopeless sinner, and if I died right now, I'd go to hell. Is there hope for me? And the hope is in Jesus Christ. If you'll repent and believe, then he will, as the song says, "I was sinking deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore, very deeply stained within, sinking to rise no more. But the master of the sea heard my despairing cry, and from the waters lifted me. Now safe am I." Janet, that's a great testimony. Encourage my heart. Thank you for your faithfulness, and may God continue to bless you and use you. And we always talk about shining and sharing on this program. That's what God's called us to do, to shine for Christ and to share what great things the Lord has done for us and how he's had mercy on us, and to share the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ, with all those that we meet. So I am so glad to hear that story and to know that that young man put his faith and trust in Jesus. So God bless you. Well, we have Joe on the line from North Carolina. Joe, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Hey, Pastor Jeff. Hey, I just got one very quick administrative question for you.
Okay.
The current CD that you have on heaven and hell, I teach a Sunday Bible school, and the lessons run about an hour. So I was wondering, to do some quick math, how's the layout of your CDs or DVDs? Are the sermons broken into like 30-minute increments or whatever?
Yeah, so they're typically I'm preaching about 45 minutes or so. So each one of those messages would be 45 minutes. Now, when we on the From His Heart program, those have to be edited down to 28 minutes or even less than that, probably 25. And so the radio portion, we do it. We break them into two parts, and part A, part B. On television, we just have to edit it down to the 25 minutes. But the full sermon is about anywhere from 40 to 50 minutes. I would say 45 is probably the average.
Perfect. That would fit in. So you got yourself a customer. I'm going to order today.
Well, thank you, Joe. I appreciate that. Tell me about your ministry.
I'm in Eastern North Carolina at Shiloh Baptist Church, and I run a door-to-door discipleship track handout program that actually we just finished. Our goal was to do a 7-mile radius with the church at the center point. We accomplished that, and we're getting ready to move on to highways. So we call it highway track handout times, and we're going to do that one or two Sundays after service during each month. And we're looking forward to that. And then I also am instrumental in Bible study at our church as well. And since I'm retiring from the workforce here in about another month or so, I plan on next year setting up myself on a voluntary basis for any churches that may be in need.
Oh, okay. Yeah, you've called in before, hadn't you, Joe?
That's me.
Yeah.
Yep.
Amen. That's exciting. And so getting ready, you can retire from your job, but you never retire from the ministry. And so I love that about your story, because you're saying, hey, now I got more free time to serve the Lord, and mm-hmm. here I am, Lord, use my life.
I'll keep you posted.
Okay. Hey, thanks, brother. God bless you.
Bye-bye. Oh.
All right. Well, the phone number to call is 888-589-8840. If you have a question or a comment, I know that certain people get mad with what I just said about you can't attach a sin to your Christianity. That doesn't go together at all. That's a total oxymoron, that you would be a gay Christian, a fornicating Christian, an adulterating Christian, or adulterous Christian, a drug addict Christian, whatever it might be that you put in there, a lying Christian, stealing Christian. Those we're saved from that. We're not saved, as one caller said, we're not saved to sin, we're saved from sin, and God has no fellowship with sin. And when the Holy Spirit comes into our lives, when we trust Christ as Savior and Lord, He convicts us. And the ministry of the Holy Spirit is to convict the world of sin and righteousness and judgment. Now, He convicts us of our sin, and He convicts us of Christ's righteousness, that He hates sin, and judgment for those, that judgment is coming for those who continue in sin. When I became a Christian, I was a 17-year-old high school senior, and the Lord opened my eyes to the truth and to the fact that if I died, I wasn't going to go to heaven. I had no basis to go to heaven because I was a sinner. And I didn't understand at that time leading up to that what that meant. But it meant I was helpless and hopeless and on the highway to hell. And when my eyes were open to where I was headed, I cried out for mercy. And I said, Jesus, would you save me? And He did. Because He will save anybody who will cry out to Him in repentance and faith. Whoever will call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. Romans 10:13. And so I did that, and He saved me. And when He came into my life, He began to change my life. And the way that I knew I was a Christian was my attitude towards sin changed. So He delivers His people, saves His people from their sins. My attitude towards sin changed, and I couldn't live the life I was living. I knew that was wrong, and the Lord didn't want me to live that. He said, come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord, and do not participate in their sins. We are called, saved out of this world and sent back to this world to be a witness in this world, and that's our only business in this world, to shine for Christ and share what great things the Lord has done for us and how He has had mercy on us. Well, thank you for listening today to Real Truth for Today. I'm your host, Pastor Jeff Shreve. I look forward to being with you again tomorrow. Hey, make a difference this day. This day is all we have to live, so live it to the full in the power of the Holy Spirit. I'll be with you again tomorrow. God bless.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.